Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
We're back live from Circa's Galaxy Ballroom in Las Vegas. Here are your hosts, Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris.
Yes, indeed. We are live from the Circa Resort and Casino Galaxy Ballroom. We are here for football contest weekend. We are also getting you ready for Cubs baseball here on 670 The Score. It is the series finale between the Brewers and the Cubs from Wrigley Field. First pitch at 1:20. Bruce Levine helping us out, able to get us information and audio from Kyle Tucker, who is back in the lineup today. He spoke before the game. If you missed it, you can go back and listen on the Rewind app.
You want to go do that.
He is batting in the lineup second, facing Quinn Priester and the Brewers as the Cubs try to take 4-5 against Milwaukee.
With Shota Imanaga on the bump.
And in the meantime, we got advanced copies of the Seth Wickersham book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, where he goes into 400 pages worth of stories going back to, I mentioned earlier, Y.A. Tittle, John Elway, the Manning family, all illustrated in depth here. Even Tom Brady, even Giselle. Sean Payton is quoted a lot as well. And yes, the storyline of the efforts of Carl and Caleb Williams to not only be the first overall pick in the draft, but to succeed in high school, to succeed at USC, to go to Oklahoma and follow Lincoln Riley, all of that illustrated and, as John Greenberg originally reported, fact-checked back in January. And we were talking about some of our biggest takeaways in this, and we don't have a lot of time left, and I know a lot of people have a lot of questions. We're already seeing people say they want to pre-order the book, and we're not trying to sell it, but we are here to help give some context. What were some other aspects that I think you wanted to touch on? Because I feel like I did a lot of what I noticed first.
Layla, let's go to page 318 of today's required reading, and I want to talk about this. So
I have that bookmarked.
First, the notion that every time there's a quarterback that is being mentioned as a possible number one overall pick, which seems like it's becoming more and more common, not like once every couple of years or two out of 3 years, but now it's like almost an every year thing, the way the quarterback position in the NFL. There's a certain foil level to it. And Caleb Williams had Drake May as his designated foil, as the guy with
his nemesis.
His nemesis, right? Before Jaden Daniels really burst onto the picture by actually winning the Heisman, that's who he was compared to a lot of the times. So we get to the combine.
Drake May, you say, after all of what we talked about in the last segment, kind of the point we're trying to make here, too.
They say Drake May went by the book, according to Wickersham. He signed with Creative Artists Agency. That's a big agency. He met with the press. Unlike with Williams, where there was no question about whether he would play for the team to draft him, not only was there doubt over whether Williams would sign with the Bears, we didn't know if he would show up in Indianapolis, let alone, you know, throw for the scouts. But he did show up, and when he showed up, that's when, like, the legend of Carl Williams kind of took off, according to this, because he was meeting with many agents, Carl was. He had waited for years for this moment. That's the words of Seth Wickersham, telling many of those agents, quote, "I don't want my son playing for the Bears," end quote. And so what were Williams' options? This is where they started about playing for the upstart United Football League, or and then they could re-enter the draft, or sign for the league minimum and then try to be cut after a year. That's crazy. And then it was like, well, maybe we could, I don't know, go back to college. But the problem is if you go back to college, now you're delaying that second contract in the NFL. And that's the problem because you sign the four-year with a team fifth-year option as a first-round pick. And then if you don't like the team you're with, either they've hurt your value or three straight years of being franchised, and then you're 30 years old before you get your second contract.
What did we say yesterday? That Tyson Bagent is the first Bears quarterback that had been extended since Jay Cutler in 2014. That illustrates the exact point here. The second contract for the quarterback is what matters the most. This quote is let's just read it together. Chicago's head coach, Matt Eberflus, had spent his entire 22-year coaching career on the defensive side of the ball. He had won 10 games in 2 years, and the Bears, under his direction and in an offense-friendly era, had scored 40 points in a game only once.
Can't wait for my first comfy Monday because I'm still waiting on it.
Also, I appreciate this from 262. I love Caleb, but as a top draft prospect, you almost have to know the odds are good. You're going to a something I can't read on there, a blank team. And I understand that, and that's part of this. But he thought that he was going to try to do everything he possibly could. And one thing that also is worth reiterating from the reports that we've seen so far is, yes, indeed, Carl Williams talked to everybody legally he possibly could about trying to get out of being drafted first overall for his son.
Including other fathers who have been through the same situation. Q, Archie Manning, Q, Jack Elway, guys who had successfully gotten their sons to better situations in their opinions.
The haves, you know, and I think that that was part of this too is that's why they were illustrated in these archetypal roles. That's why they were illustrated as being so above everything and just made men, as I said earlier. And then there's the illustration about Kevin O'Connell. Williams met with a handful of teams in Indianapolis at the Combine, his meeting with the Bears at 10:40 p.m. Wednesday. How it went depended on which side of the table you were on. The Bears saw a fine young quarterback who could handle the media market. He can. Caleb was polite and affable, but felt like the team was testing him, peppering him with questions rather than trying to form a bond. It was an awkward setting, speed dating in a stadium site. Caleb later told associates that he didn't vibe with anyone, not like he did, for instance, with the Minnesota Vikings.
Dun, dun, dun.
Williams appreciated how Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings head coach, thought about quarterbacks, how he spoke of them, his scars from having tried to be one.
Matt Eberflus wasn't a quarterback, is what you're saying?
And that's, I think, part of the illustration of the issue of how this goes back to so much more. The very basis of who you're hiring and the very basis of why organizations think certain ways. We see the end result in the games. But when you consider that part of it, what's happening backstage, how they're being talked to. You know, even when I think about Matt Eberflus saying the term complimentary football over and over again. And he's got his own system that created him too, by the way. And he succeeded in it. When you can be a head coach or a defensive coordinator in the NFL for as long as he has, that's still success. Was he a successful head coach? No. But is he better than the like, which is what this book is trying to illustrate for his respective job? Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit more about O'Connell. We discussed the book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback by Seth Wickersham. We've got advanced copies. It comes out the day after Monday Night Football in the season opener against the Vikings. So here's the background on O'Connell I think people need to understand. Wickersham writes, O'Connell was an excellent quarterback at San Diego State, a four-year captain, addicted to the wave of momentum he felt spread across the team when he did his job well. The Patriots drafted him in the third round in 2008. He figured he would watch Tom Brady up close for a few years, then take that knowledge to another team. O'Connell threw six passes as a rookie in New England,
yeah,
completing four for 23 yards. He had no idea at the time that those would be the final regular season passes of his career. He was cut the next year, 2009, the Lions signed him, then traded him 5 days later. He auditioned for teams. It never went well. He always wanted to create, quote, the wow factor, end quote, he says, the one transcendent throw that would make a team believe. Quote, I learned that's the last possible thing you should do, he says now. And so I think there was a certain relatability with his struggles that Caleb understood. And this is the part right here. The end of this particular vignette ends with this. In 2024, O'Connell was in the market for a quarterback. He got on with Williams well enough for the quarterback to fantasize about blowing up the draft and forcing a trade. Quote, I need to go to the Vikings, end quote, Caleb told his father. Carl replied, let's do it.
And that's part of what we've read so far. I think that when you consider how that season turned out, and that's part of this, the results are matching the process. And when you consider how the Vikings season ended up, and Sam Darnold and Kevin O'Connell arguably now being one of the best coaches cemented in the NFL after working with him, the difference head coaches make in the league, in your wins and losses. Every time I read something else, I realize that it's even more of a difference than I understood the day before. One of the quotes that is quoted in here is Sean Payton.
Get to it.
And Sean Payton, not only do you see how he creates a team and how he works with quarterbacks, Payton has done us one better. He has a formula, and he shared it with Seth Wickersham. His formula is based on the number of attempts, the number of sacks in those attempts, the number of fumbles in that set, interceptions, your completion percentage, and then it calculates a weighted average. So he was trying to use that algorithm, a basic one, to create his value of who he was seeing to match his eye test to what he knew about their data. And for him, the lower the average, the better. Williams's was 17.5. Bo Nix's was 2.3. And that's where, as you read the Greenberg article earlier, at least you may be familiar with it, the quote came from, "I'll get criticized for taking Nix at 12, Peyton tells me of Nix. I don't give a blank. 3 years from now is what I'm worried about." And that was a big piece of it for me as well, was understanding not only those pieces, but then Sean Payton talking about how the NFL is about confusion. It's not just execution, it's confusion. I hope that you are tired of listening to the story about Ed Reed mirroring Peyton Manning, so much so to the point where the extra move of him faking out the faking out of the faking out,
it's too many layers,
is what caused catastrophic failure for that drive. Bill Belichick talks about it effusively for a reason. I feel like it was a sea change moment in the NFL where that is literally changing the game, what he did. And it was that point where you realize not only are you mocking up the details, you're mocking up the end result of this five times and figuring out what the sixth time is, knowing that they've already gone through the five. The way that he illustrates that in this book, I think, is absolutely huge.
I love the understanding of how quarterback is played by so many different people trying to get the same end result. But it can be done in a variety of ways. Whether you're the quarterback on the field, whether you're the coach coaching the quarterback, there's more than one way to get this done. But ultimately, my biggest takeaway from this book, Layla, is that Carl and Caleb Williams wanted to reverse engineer being at Tom Brady level, really above Tom Brady level, and not in terms of the end of the career, but just where they were drafted to be in the best spot. They successfully did that almost to the point, except for the Bears. But really, if you think about it, they just had 1 year delayed from their ultimate goal, which is getting a guy who is the brains behind everything, and now the head coach, Ben Johnson, the Chicago Bears. And that's why I have a strong belief that Caleb Williams will do anything, everything to make Ben Johnson happy and to get on his level.
Right. That's what you just come away knowing him better, and you come away understanding how he got to this position better. And that is always important. I also want to leave you with this. And this segment, by the way, is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. The way the Caleb Williams arc ends, they paint the picture of Jaden Daniels, and they go into Wickersham goes into what happened with Jaden Daniels. And of course, the game between the Bears and the Commanders gets brought up. Tomorrow, a building of grown-ups would look to Williams for hope. Not all of them would be in his corner. When football season arrived, the Bears started 4-2. Williams was still unsure of the Bears' operation. He liked the coaches as people, but struggled to connect with them as football minds. One of us. At times, he would watch film alone with no instruction or guidance from the coaches. "No one tells me what to watch," Caleb told his dad. "I just turn it on," end quote. The Bears' success felt fragile like it always does in the NFL, and soon it ended. In the final minutes of the seventh game against Daniels and the Commanders, Williams led the Bears 62 yards down the field, and Chicago scored a go-ahead touchdown with 31 seconds left. Ball game, it appeared. But Daniels got the ball. Washington moved to midfield, and as time expired, launched a Hail Mary down the center of the field. It was tipped and caught for a touchdown. Washington won. Daniels essentially clinched the Offensive Rookie of the Year award with that throw. When Daniels was officially given the trophy 3 months later, it seemed like a formality. The Bears, meanwhile, self-destructed. After three consecutive losses, Shane Waldron was fired. A little more than 2 weeks later, after six straight losses, including a Thanksgiving Day clock management debacle against the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell, Matt Eberflus was fired. The Bears lost four more games in a row after that. Also, there's a typo in here. That's supposed to be the Lions, as we know. The Bears lost four more games in a row after that, 10 straight in all, before beating the Green Bay Packers in the final week of the season on a Williams-led game-winning drive in the closing seconds. Williams generally played well as a rookie. He threw 20 touchdowns, only six interceptions. But the year went close to what Carl had predicted and feared. Caleb was sacked 68 times, third most by any quarterback ever. He often held the ball too long, failing to see open receivers. In mid-January, the Bears hired Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson as head coach, and Carl kept trying to remind himself of what he told his son countless times during the joy of his rise. You have to find a way to manufacture belief. Derek Stevens joins us next. This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.